Welcome, everybody, to this Sustainable Wine Roundtable conversation about our bottle weight at Cord to discuss how we reduce bottle weight without causing unintended consequences. And that is what we're going to debate. So, a very quick intro to Sustainable Wine Roundtable. We began life in 2019 as a sustainable wine website and events business, which I set up. And it very quickly became obvious there was a huge amount of interest in what we were doing, but very little commercial business model. And in order to keep the thing going, we were looking around to see how do we make a difference in wine rather than just holding conferences and doing podcasts and raising awareness. It was suggested to us by Richard Bamfield, MW, that we should take on the idea of bringing the wine industry together around a collective vision of sustainability, but being inclusive of all the issues while we did so. So we started the Sustainable Wine Roundtable about 3 years ago, myself and Tom Outram, who was a real hero and worked for a long time without any pay. Thank you, Tom, for that work. And we started with a number of founding members. When we launched with 50 about 2.5 years ago, we're now up to about 130, and we'll be bringing in as many as we can. And we've not yet been able to cover all of the issues in sustainability and wine with our work streams and programs. Over the last couple of years, Peter Stanbury's joined us. And Peter and I worked together for 25 years in sustainability issues. And he's really become the fulcrum of SWR in terms of our research and standards work. We won't talk about all of our work today because we're here to talk about bottle weight specifically. But if you'd like to know more about how we're set up and what we're doing, you can see that on swroundtable.org. And you can see all the podcasts and webinars and conferences we've done over the last 5 years on sustainablewine.co.uk. So that's a bit about SWR. This is sort of our flagship program at the moment, the Bottle Weight Accord, because it seemed like something there was clear interest in and something that we could actually make a difference in quite quickly. The other things we're doing would take a bit longer, but we're making great progress on our global reference framework for assessing wine standards and on our work around vineyard inputs into regenerative agriculture processes and also work around labor standards and other issues. We have a very long list of other things we'd like to do to help sustainability happen in wine, but we're a small team and we can't do them all at once. So we value your suggestions, but please bear in mind if we're not achieving your specific objectives today, we'll get round to them as soon as we can tomorrow. In the meantime, here to discuss bottle weight with us are Dr. Peter Stanbury, who I mentioned before from SWR. We have Anne-Laure Ferroir, who is the director of Terra Vitis. We also have Jeff Ternas, who's the Senior Vice President of Culinary at Whole Foods Market, and Dom DeVille, Director of Sustainability and Social Impact at the Wine Society. I'm going to ask each of you a few very simple questions about what you're doing and why you're doing it on this subject. But before we do that, I think it makes sense to have Peter outline what is the Bottle Weight Accord, where have we got to, and what's our plan from an SWR point of view. Peter.
As Toby has said, the Bottle Weight Accord has become something of a sort of centerpiece of what we're doing. It was backed initially by a group of retailers. We now have both retailers and producers involved. And it's really becoming the de facto industry standard for lightweighting around wine bottles. I guess the question is, why bottle weight? What we're trying to do with SWR is to solve those problems which are, or solve those challenges which are of concern to most people. And almost everyone we spoke to was scratching their heads about what to do about the wine bottle. It's the largest component of wine's carbon footprint. It's not just its manufacture, it's obviously its transportation as well. But there are also other issues around heavy bottles, heavy cases of wine, of course, damage to equipment and the risk of injury to workers in vineyards and in wine shops. But there's also a direct cost saving to members as well. We're seeing both out of the EU and of the UK, and increasingly out of some of the states in the US, extended producer responsibility for packaging. There's much more focus on Scope 3 emissions. And you're seeing regulatory agendas such as the EU's Green Deal really focusing on packaging as a key environmental issue, with costs associated for those organizations that don't address it properly. There's also, as we all know, very much focus on greenwash, real need to demonstrate tangible action rather than just talk about it. There was a German investment bank was fined by the SEC in the States at the end of last year for making false claims about its green credentials. So that's very much in the public eye. But also wanted to explore how collective action could work. What we seek to do with SWR is to establish a solid evidence base that then points members towards tangible action that they can take within their businesses. We came up with the SWR Wine Bottle Weight Accord. The participants have committed to reduce the average weight of their 750 ml still bottles below 420 grams by the end of 2026. Now, just a caveat on the maths, the reason we chose an average bottle weight below rather than all bottle weight below was because it means that if there are outliers, so for example, some appellations that decide they want to move more slowly, we don't risk undermining the whole accord. So given that the average bottle weight is currently around 550 grams, that's a 25% drop in weight and therefore also in carbon footprint. Members will take their own decisions about how that fits within their processes. You know, it's not for us to dictate onto members how they're going to operate their internal systems. So that will be up to them to achieve. We will report every 6 months. We will be reporting again at the end of next month how we're doing. But then also members will work through SWR to make sure that it's deliverable. So working with the entire supply chain. This is not an issue just for retailers or just for producers. It's for the industry as a whole. And our role as SWR is to facilitate that collaboration. The accord was based on an extensive piece of research which we undertook last year, which included an extensive review of pretty much everything we could find about wine bottle weight. It's a cracking read, I can tell you. You know, more than 50 interviews. And really, what we wanted to arrive at was, insofar as anything is ever unarguable, an unarguable evidence base, but with a clear action, clearly, right, and this is what we're going to do on the back of it. It's not just about a report for the sake of having it. It's the so what question about what are we and our members going to do. And the two key issues that we addressed that ended up being the key points. The first one is that consumers don't perceive a link between heavier bottles and better wine quality. There is a myriad of factors that affect consumers' choice on wine. And frankly, if you rely on the bottle weight as a way of selling to your customers, then frankly, you ought to get a better marketing team. But also lighter bottles can be used in existing supply chains. It was obviously important that we didn't require, through the bottle weight accord, companies to have to extensively, you know, retool. And it's clear from lived practice by a number of the wineries we deal with that lighter weight bottles can be used in existing supply chains without any risk of breakage.
Hi, Peter. Sorry to interrupt. I don't know how to raise my hand, but there is a big study out of Sonoma State that shows that actually consumers don't think that lighter weight bottles are better or don't know anything about the heavier bottles. So I know that you guys did this research, but I don't know how big the research was. All I'm saying is that in the market, I'm still seeing most consumers, just in my own personal experience, they do not know, especially in the US, Latin America, Asia, that heavy bottles are bad or that heavy bottles are not more luxury. I mean, most people think, yes, the heavier bottle looks more fancy. So all I want to say is that I think it's important that you not say, okay, this is done, the discussion's finished, because I think maybe we should have some universities do bigger research papers on this, like with bigger groups of people. I am seeing consumers still preferring heavier bottles, which I think is still a very big problem.
That's not borne out by the academic research. That's not to say that there aren't people in the industry who still do make that association.
Lara, thank you. If I could ask everyone else to wait until we've heard from our speakers before we come in. But that is a very important point. To give you a bit of time to mull a response, Peter, let's come back to Lara's point as the first point of the Q&A. And Peter, back to you.
We started off with 9 companies. We now have, if you include the fact we've got Naked in 3 different places, we've got 15 participants. And the great thing is, although initially this work was backed by retailers, we now have producer groups on board. We've got, for example, one of our speakers today, Terra Vitis. And that's great because it demonstrates that this is an industry-wide challenge, that this is something which is not just a problem for retailers, but it's something that also needs to be driven by producers as well. So I guess the question is, why support our work? The reason for this call is to encourage people to join the accord. Working with us on this, working through the wine bottle weight accord, has direct cost savings. The members of this will be saving money because of reduced tariffs under things like extended producer responsibility. It also supports legal compliance. It means that organizations will have a better idea of where their scope 3 emissions are. They will be able to comply with emerging regulation as it comes forward, like the EU Green Deal. Avoiding greenwash, demonstrating that there is tangible action being taken by joining the bottle weight accord. You can demonstrate clearly that you're taking action on an issue which is the most significant in terms of wine's carbon footprint. There's also obviously an advantage of cost saving through collaboration, rather than each of those who backed the original report having to pay the whole sum themselves. They were able to pay a component of that and we did the work for them. But also I think it's towards authoritative evidence. What we were able to do with that research, and indeed what we're doing with the research moving forward, is that we can draw all together all the bits and pieces of work that's already been done, and then combine that with, you know, academic and other studies. And, you know, some organizations could do this work on their own, but doing it through SWR gives more credibility. And what we're trying to do is to get to the stage, and I think we're doing quite well. If we've got one retailer that might join in the next few weeks, which would take us over 1 billion bottles, which, as someone said, is a bloody good party. But we are becoming the industry standard around bottle weight. So we'd like to encourage all of you to join us.
Peter, thank you. So, Anne-Laure, let me come to you first. I want to start with a kind of one quick sentence on Terravitis so people understand what you're doing. That's great.
So I'm Anne-Laure Ferroir. I'm the French director of the French organization Terravitis. Terravitis is more or less a big association of wine producers born in the Beaujolais wine region in 1998. Right now, we count more or less 2,000 members, so 2,000 wine producers, smaller ones, but also bigger ones, spread in all the wine region in France. So we can have some members in Alsace region, in Champagne region, but also in Loire Valley and so on. At the same time, Terravitis is a French certification dedicated to the wine, and the specifications are built on the three pillars of the sustainability. So our specification evolves regularly. So it's the reason why we are here today, in order to be sure that finally we address all the key subjects, difficulties and stakes that wine producer have to go through. But also we want you to be sure that we address also the expectation from professional and consumer. So Terravitis is a French association, wine producer, and also certification of French wine.
Thank you for the intro. Tell us, why have you joined the Accord?
We joined the Accord first because we are partner and members from SWR. So for us, it's sure we have to sign this Accord. Secondly, because we already introduced in our specification some requirements focused on what packaging. So it's clearly linked. Also, because we wanted to be sure that we could build all together a wine industry more sustainable. So we are sure that if we only work by our own, it's not enough. We really have to work collectively.
What's going to happen with regard to your organization now that you've signed the Accord? What are you doing next?
First, we have to see that even if we signed last year the Accord, it's not the reason why we didn't think about this subject only today, because of course Terravitis certification is finally like the result of the some continuous improvements on sustainability issues. So we already think and we already address this subject. So as I said, we already introduced some requirements about eco design and eco packaging in the certification, but we already organized some groups, some technical groups in Terravitis. But to answer more precisely to your question, what are we going to do? First, we are going to raise or to continue to raise awareness of our wine producer on this subject, because not all of them knows that more or less 15% of the carbon footprint of a wine bottle comes from packaging. So we really have every day to raise their awareness. Secondly, we offer the opportunities to our involved members to share their experience, to see what they are already done, what are the difficulties, to be sure that finally we could help everybody and we could support all the wine producers to go through this difficulty. What we also want to organize some meeting and some discussion between wine producer and glass bottle manufacturers. We are going to do probably that in April, for example. We also are going to record all the practices and key figures, which in order to be sure that we are, in order to know finally the weight of the bottle in France and in at Terravitis members, we already introduced requirements in the specifications.
Thank you. A final question before we move over to our next speaker. What are the other priorities you have around wine packaging? I mean, this is one part of it, but of course, in the wine media, we hear every day about a new alternative and other approaches to packaging. So I just wonder what your thoughts are there, Anne-Laure, because for us, this is beginning of a process. It's something we want to tackle. It's a clear thing we all agree on. We can do something about it, but clearly there's a lot more to do, which is why our kind of packaging work stream will be taking on the further challenges. So I'd just love to hear what your thoughts are.
We have several ones, I think. The first one is the solution also for sparkling wines. And as I said, Terra Vitis count some members from Alsace or from Loire Valley, but we have also some members from Champagne region. So we really have to think also about some solution for sparkling wines. Secondly, we are going also to think about alternative packaging. Why not about the reused bottles or cans? We don't know. We also wanted to continue to work with some researcher because we are pretty sure because all the suppliers will be able finally in few years to offer some lighter bottles. But what we want also is to select finally the best suppliers who proffer some lighter bottles. And the last thing is we really want to raise the awareness of consumer. We say that we don't know if consumer prefer or not some lighter bottles or EV bottles. So what we wanted also is to be sure that consumer can be ready to change their habits, or are they finally ready to buy their favorite wine, I don't know, in a light bottle or in a can. In France, yes, we really have to think about that also. I just want to add, because Peter, you said that, of course, if we address this subject, there is plenty of good reason. But we don't say the reason about the fact that if we lighten bottles, we're going finally also to improve the working conditions at the cellar. It's really important, and it's really important for Terra Vitis because the social aspects is really a key point of our certifications.
Anne-Laure, thank you. That's a very important point. And this is one of the many reasons why we have a labour standards programme, which we've been developing to create that shared view of how this can be done, which, by the way, exists in many other things, commodities and food items and others that we can learn from. So that is something we're addressing. Dom gave us some very good advice some year or so ago, which is do three things really well, or a few things really well. So we're focused on this still wine challenge first, but sparkling is something we will look into. Let's move across the Atlantic to Jeff. Jeff, welcome. I think most people know who Whole Foods Market is, but really interested to know kind of the answers to the same questions, really. You know, why have you joined? What are you doing? And why are you doing it?
Sure. Thanks for having me. I did live in the UK for 7 years working with Whole Foods Market, and two of my kids were born there. So I feel it's good to hear the accents and feel like I'm back. I've been with Whole Foods for 28 years, and sustainability is just part of our DNA, part of our core values. We've done and we do a lot of things across the business, and it's a focus for all of our different categories. And the Sustainable Wine Roundtable was really exciting for us to become a founding member and then to sign up for the Accord and help fund the research. And really, it's more about extending our mission and it's extending it into an area where, the team's done a lot of great work over the years supporting organic wines and biodynamic and educating our customers on the benefits there and helping to improve the quality of those wines over the years. So for us, this is just kind of the next step in meeting what our ultimate vision for Whole Foods Market is. And we want to educate our customers, but we also want to educate our team members. We're really proud of our adult beverage and our wine departments. And there's a lot of things that we had in the work. So signing up for the Accord just allowed us to join a group of others with like minds and ideals and ways to try to get it done. So, you know, in the areas that we're focused on in 2023, you know, we've really started focusing on our control labels, or we call them our distinctive labels, wines that we work with wineries and create and source and then sell in our stores. At the end of 2023, in average, all of those wines in that portfolio average out below 420 grams per bottle, which we were really excited to find out. We've got further work to do because not every individual wine bottle is below 420, but by the 2025 vintage, all of them will be there. Our distinctive label portfolio is one that we continue to grow. It represents a pretty significant amount of our volume. Additional areas that we're looking at is removing capsules, moving to natural unbleached cartons on some of our highest velocity brands. In April, we'll launch this Frugal Pack. I don't know if you're familiar with this, you probably are over there, but this is a paper bottle. And it's the first one that'll be manufactured in the US. It's a rosé from Bonnie Dune called Carbon A. Low carbon packaging, 6 times lower carbon footprint than the average 750 ml glass bottle, 94% recycled paperboard, and 5% lighter. So, I think we'll kind of test and see how this does and if there's an opportunity. I don't know that this is the way we're going with everything, but it's certainly a great step forward. And then one additional area is just really around that we're all really passionate about, in addition to the sustainability efforts here, but is around labeling transparency. And we are, I think it might be further evolved across the pond, but we've got a lot of work to do there. And really, we've also set goals for all of our distinctive label or control label wines to be, by the 2025 vintage, be showing full ingredients on there. So that's a big step for us and one that we also would like to see the industry move towards. And the last kind of comment around like the social aspect and social responsibility, that we have a program called Source for Good. And this is really focused on a lot of the fresh produce, fruits and veg that we sell. It's also made its way into products on the shelf in coffee, where it has not only a sustainability and impact to the environment, but it also has a social element as well. And I think as we start to think about ways to go deeper into this beyond bottle accord, there's all kinds of fun things that we have going in other parts of our business that I'd love to see move into the wine space. So we're really excited to be part of it. The team made me aware of it a year or so ago, and we jumped right on it. And just, I think, going at this together, Whole Foods Market, we are relatively small in the UK, but in the US, I think we've got a pretty big voice and can really help support the accord and the initiative. So
thanks for your support. And we'll be looking to you to help raise awareness for the work you're doing and we're doing with other retailers in the US. So send them over when you come across them. Any interest from the bigger non-wine specialists that you know about, we'd love to hear them. You covered all my questions in your statement. Well done. Dom, welcome back. Regular slots you have on many of our webinars. For those who don't know the Wine Society, give us the one sentence and then tell us, again, same questions. Why are you doing this and how is it changing how you work?
Yeah, I was just complaining actually on WhatsApp, Toby, about how you always come to me last on these things. Everyone's already said my points.
Just make it easy.
Make it difficult for me. So for those who don't know, the Wine Society is essentially an online wine retailer. We're based in the UK and we sell in the UK. Obviously, like everyone else, we want to reduce the amount of glass that goes through our supply chain for two reasons. And I'm not saying anything new here, but just to give you a few stats, I'm going back to why join a bottle weight accord. What's the point of it? So for us, we need to reduce glass to reduce carbon. Glass is nearly half of our total emissions, the shipping, disposal, manufacture of it. And we've calculated that for every 20 gram reduction in the average bottle weight of our full range, we're going to reduce our carbon emissions by somewhere around 150 tons a year. So every 20 gram reduction is a concrete carbon saving. Cost reduction, Peter's already covered this, but in the UK, you have to pay fees for the packaging that you put onto the market. As a business, those fees are based on weight. The higher the weight, the higher the cost. It's probably the same in other countries, I don't know. These fees are already very high, but they're set to get even higher under new packaging legislation coming in. For example, if we spend 1.5 million a year on these compliance fees, if we reduce the weight of glass, which is most of that, by 20%, that's a solid £250,000 saving a year. Actually, it's not. It's 300,000, isn't it? My maths is terrible. Concrete saving in costs. That's what we're trying to do. Back in early 23, we set glass reduction targets. We presented these to our suppliers in an online webinar, but actually we didn't really get a lot of cut through on it. In the months that followed, we got some pushback. Why is the Wine Society doing this? Why are you asking for below 420? No one else is. We can't get lighter bottles. They're not available. They cost more. We don't want to go to lighter bottles because we don't like the way they look and feel. So we found it quite difficult, actually. So then when this idea of the bottle weight accord came along in conversations that, you know, I was having with Peter, Toby, we were really for it, because if everyone's doing the same thing, if we're all asking for the same thing, it just becomes cheaper and easier for everyone. And we've already started to feel the benefits internally, actually. So just to give a few examples, the research that Peter did, that he talked briefly about at the beginning, gave my colleagues internally the confidence that what we're asking of suppliers is reasonable and achievable. Actually, we were going to do that research ourselves, but actually when Sustainable Wine Roundtable did it, we contributed, but we didn't have to pay the whole costs. Having this accord, which other retailers have all signed up to, has given our buying team the confidence to have conversations with their suppliers about it. So whereas they were nervous about it before, they can now say, listen, we're not the only ones asking for this. You know, this is the direction of travel. There are other retailers moving in this direction as well. You may as well do it, because others are going to ask you to do the same thing. I think that it's generally raised the profile of bottle weight reduction. This is kind of our sense. I know the awareness is not there everywhere, but I think it's helped improve the understanding that glass is such a big part of this industry's carbon footprint. I think it's been a good news story to our customers, actually. It's a really tangible way to bring sustainability to life. You know, X reduction in glass means X reduction in carbon. You know, it's really kind of tangible. And I do wonder, and others on this call, I'd be interested to know what others think, sort of anecdotally, and this is probably some wishful thinking, I do wonder if this has helped galvanize bottle manufacturers into action and making lighter weight bottles more available and cheaper. I like to think that's the case. I don't know if that is the case. I guess we'll find out over time. There, Toby, I just thought I'd share some sort of thoughts on why we thought this was a good idea and what sort of happened since.
Thanks, Tom. That's really helpful. One of the largest glass producers has just joined us, and a few others as well. So we're certainly seeing a lot of enthusiasm to embrace change in, amongst some of them. But Peter, let me come back to you, because Laura is still here. Maybe you can address her earlier point. Of course, in the modern world, we know everyone's got evidence of their own that says various things. You know? And you know, one study can say one thing, one study can say another. But we've certainly been as effective as we can in looking at what the trends are. So, Peter, perhaps I can come back to you on Laura's point about bottle weight, and then perhaps we can briefly talk about where we might get to with sparkling, and then we can go into a more general Q&A.
It was perhaps one of the most surprising things that came out of the research, that this thing that consumers associate heavier bottles with better wine, if you actually dig into the academic research, it's not true. Or rather, it also depends on how you ask the question. If you give a consumer two bottles, one is heavier than the other, they will tend to say the heavy one has better wine in it. If, however, you put them in a what one might describe a normal purchasing situation, there's a whole bunch of other factors that they take into account. So that might be front label. And there's a study done in the UK by RAP a few years ago that looked at where consumers' eyes go. And the front label is very important in attracting attention. The back labeling as well, in terms of providing information about what you can drink the wine with and what the taste notes are. There's also what they call ethnocentrism in wine. So it won't surprise anyone that's been to France and go to Bordeaux and discover you've got almost a whole store full of Bordeaux wines, you know, half a shelf of other France and one bottle of rest of world. So that's a factor as well. Wine expertise. So one study, for example, identified that the consumer group most likely to associate the heavy bottle with better quality wine are those who are not regular drinkers. Those who are regular drinkers are more likely to know that it's not a material factor. So there's a whole bunch of issues that impact on consumer behavior. And if we want to promote sustainability, if the argument against moving is simply that it'll affect sales, well, frankly, it means you need to get a decent marketing team, because there's a whole bunch of other variables that can be used. There are other factors that weigh in on this as well, in that the most recent studies that have been done date back 5 or 6 years. The big academic players are here at the University of Adelaide, the University of South Australia, and Copenhagen Business School. So there is, to come back to what you said, Laura, absolutely a need to do something that's more recent. Obviously, the thing is complicated by the fact that these days one buys a large amount of wine online. I mean, if I'm buying wine from Wine Society, I don't go to the store, I buy it online. How does that affect it? Also, the factors that affect consumer choice vary market by market. There's a myriad variables that affect consumer choice, of which wine bottle weight, yes, is one, but it's a pretty small one by comparison with all those other factors. And if it's clear that those other factors are maximized, then there won't be any impact on sales because of bottle weight. Then you take that further forward. We interviewed for this piece of work both LCBO and SAQ, which are the two Canadian monopolies, both of whom had moved towards 420 grams over the last 3 or 4 years. Their anecdotal feedback from their consumers was that because they as an organization had been saying lighter weight bottles are more environmentally friendly, you were then getting consumers coming and saying, we don't want to buy this because it's too heavy. So as you start to see sustainability being higher up consumers' agendas, it's how that communication works. There very much is almost the obverse flip when it's clear that the wine bottle weight is a significant issue when it comes to sustainability.
Okay, thank you. Peter, Laura, if we've missed something, we're happy to go back and look again. We can't always cover everything. So if you want to come back briefly, please do.
Very, very briefly. So first of all, thank you for this great overview of your research. I agree with everything you're saying, that if you could actually be in front of a person and say, hey, this is bad for the environment, they would all pick the lighter weight bottle. My concern is that with the SAQ and the LCBO requirements, what ends up happening is that they make those requirements for wines that are sold in volume. And so my concern is that all of a sudden, all the less expensive wines will be in these lighter weight bottles, and there will be remaining, which there still are, a lot of the more expensive, more premium brands in these heavier bottles. And so we will actually get the opposite result of what we're looking for, which is that I think
that's one of the reasons we went for an average below 420, because what you say is absolutely right. It is very likely we're going to get pushback from, for example, Amarone, Chateauneuf-du-Pape, Napa, areas that have historically the bottle has been a key part of their marketing brand. But my experience and change in a lot of spaces is that you demonstrate that it can happen and that it's not having the effect that people fear. It means that those who don't want to move, their reason for not moving has gone away.
Well, the only thing I would add to the agreement, and I'm going to sign it now because I did not actually know that it was average below.
Yeah.
Because our average is actually below already. So this is very helpful meeting. I'm ready to sign. I think that the one thing that I would add to the agreement is that you must make a commitment to do education campaigns en place in front of the consumer. Yeah. And we're doing one. But I think that that has to be part of the commitment, because there are still so many consumers that if they don't have an explanation, the bigger bottle looks more expensive, just like bigger bottles of perfume and packaging. And I know we can achieve this, but I think that we need to do a lot more work with the consumer. Just saying that this research has been done, to me, is not enough.
One of the things that we have a program of work to support the Bottle Weight Accord implementation, because obviously what we don't want is to put the accord into place and then just sort of leave it. One of the things that we're doing this year, it's in our work plan. So for those of you who are supporting the work plan, is precisely to do that. It's to come up with shared messaging that all of those who are participating in the accord can use with their retailers. Because the more this message can be pushed and it's consistent, then obviously that will shift change as well.
Yes, absolutely. One of the things we're going to be asking members to do is to report back on the impact that working with SWR has had in their organization. And obviously that will make us feel good, but that's not the point. The point is to try and work out to quantify the value of collaboration, but also to encourage members to say, well, actually, I've signed this Bottleway Accord. Now, what is my responsibility? How do I use marketing resources to go out there and drive persuasion? Because as we've seen, Henry Ford, he famously said, if I'd asked consumers what they wanted, I would have built a faster horse. And, there's an awful lot of leading that we can do. And it's a question of getting that balance right. And we've seen that in so many other products, not just in wine. That you're absolutely right, Laura. There is an onus on all of us to go out there and say, right, how do we use resources we've got to do the education that's needed?
But this is a key driver within SWR to come up with those messages and make sure that those are consistent, because you're absolutely right, Laura. So that's part of our work plan for this year.
Excellent. Well, thank you. Thanks. And we have a new signatory live on the webinar.
Exactly.
Thank you, Laura.
It feels like one of those churches where we've got a first conversion,
Exactly. And Laura, let me ask a question to you. Have you told all of your members about your signatory to the Bottleway Accord? And what's been some of the comments you've had back? Obviously, comments saying this is great, we'll do it, are wonderful. But what we always like to know is, what are people saying in terms of the unintended consequences, the things that we need to assist them with in implementing the accord? So what have you been hearing back from some of your producers, Anne-Laure?
I would say that we get finally both reactions, because depends. We have more or less 2,000 members in France do. So that means we have already some who are aware about this subject, who already try to lower their carbon footprint. So this person finally, yes, they said, yes, go. It's a good idea because we're going finally all together to be better and to improve our sustainability. So that's great. But of course, because we are finally a quite big organization, we have some people for them it could be quite complicated. But why? Because firstly, usually they don't have the idea of the impact finally of the wine bottle, of the total carbon footprint of a bottle. I would just say last week I was at the big agriculture fair in Paris, and we organized an event focused on eco-conception, eco-packaging. We received two members from TerraVitis and several journalists. And we organized like a game. And the first question was, have you any idea of the footprint of a wine bottle? And have you any idea of the proportion of the packaging on this footprint? And people did not know that. So when you say first, yes, 15% of the carbon footprint comes from the packaging, if you try to improve that, you will finally improve the sustainability way of wine production much more than just doing something in the viticulture, in the vineyards. So first, I think that we have to educate consumers, but our producer, or at least the ones who are not right now sure to be able to attain the goal.
Thank you. That's really helpful. Yeah, we've always been very keen not to make this a retailer-driven thing where it's just kind of dumped down the supply chain and they're told to get on with it. You know, we're starting to see much more coordinated practices by groups like SWR in other commodities. We see it in soy, we see it in palm oil, we see it in cotton and elsewhere. So we're very keen to make sure it's as much bottom-up as top-down. On that point, Dom, have you had any pushback here? I know it's challenging to get data from suppliers. We've talked about that. But I wonder what you can share with us about what you've heard in response and, you know, the challenges you're encountering that we can try and collectively meet to make this happen.
As I said earlier, what this bottle weight accord has helped, hasn't been the only thing, is it's helped have the conversations with producers about the topic and about why we're doing it, and we're not the only ones doing it, and you know, this is sort of the direction of travel. It's definitely helped. We're taking the approach that we're asking people to move to lighter weight bottles where possible and to encourage them to do so. We know it's easier in some countries than other countries. Bottles are more available. Lighter bottles are more available in some areas than others. They're cheaper or more expensive in some areas than others. It's a really, really mixed bag. I think what overall it's done is just help people see that this is the way the Wine Society and others are moving, you know, for people to sort of put it into their plans for whether they can do it this vintage or they can do it next vintage, or to kind of see that gradual reduction happen. That's sort of a general feeling. Obviously, for some, it's much harder than others. But, you know, we're quite practical. We're quite reasonable about it and understand that it's difficult for others.
Thank you. Yeah, we're very conscious of the impact of small producers here. We met one of our members last year. I think it was at Provine. And they said, well, you know, I only buy 300,000 bottles a year. And my glass provider wouldn't tell me anything about where the glass came from and wouldn't sell away bottles and just sort of told me to get lost because I'm too small a customer. And we're very conscious of that as a pressure and what we can do about it.
You know, some of the bigger producers will stockpile. They've already bought their glass bottles for the next year, 2 years. So, you know, you can't suddenly ask them to change because they've already done it. Or alternatively, all the lightweight bottles have been bought up by the big guys and the smaller guys can't buy them because they don't, you know, the glass manufacturers don't have the stock. So, there are these things we need to consider on a case-by-case basis, but it's just helped set that direction of travel. And hopefully things will get easier and will speed up over the next few years.
Yeah, this is going to be the value of collaboration. I remember being one of our producer vineyards after the harvest they were trying to bottle a year or so ago. And while we were there, the truck came down the road with the bottles on it, and they'd had to pay for storage tanks while they were waiting for the glass. And you know, these are costs we need to be aware of, and to make sure that bigger players, while trying to do the right thing and meet the targets, don't disadvantage the smaller ones with product. Peter, let me come.
Yeah, I think it's important to stress that this is all in our work plan for this coming year. That we're not just stopping short at saying, right, we've done the bottle weight call, we've done the piece of work, it's job done. You know, one of the targets obviously is to expand the membership, which is what this meeting's about. But the work ongoing for the coming year is ensuring bottle availability. Toby, you've mentioned what we saw in France. In South Africa, they're currently finding it difficult to access 420 cork closure bottles. Our role will be to ensure that those log jams are done. And it's great, therefore, that we're working very closely with the bottle makers, because it means that we're actually in the position where we can do that. We're going to make sure that there are those collaborations between brands and between retailers. We'll also need to develop, and Nick's going to be working with us on this, a sort of how-to guide so that those running filling lines can ensure that they can use lightweight bottles to understand what modifications they might need to do. Consumer education, we've already thought about. So all of these are part of our work plan for the coming year.
But that's why we need more signatories to support the work, so we can get
exactly.
It done. Exactly. Adrian Bridge, you had something to say.
I think Peter's just some of that point. I mean, clearly the key message has to go back to the bottle manufacturers, and the bottle manufacturers will change when they see demand. So therefore, more signatures imply more people are following this, and therefore they need to produce more. So that's a fairly straightforward thing, particularly for a generic bottle. I think for brands that use their own bottle, we've always got to remember the amortization of molds. Even the best will in the world, the cost of writing off molds is expensive. And so therefore there's a lag time. And really the third point, which I look at, into our business, for example, we just bought a table wine business, which was, the current release is a 2012. They've been bottling for the last decade in very heavy bottles. So what's inevitably going to happen, and we've now switched to lighter on those, but those aren't going to hit the market until 2028. I think, again, from most wine makers, what they might be bottling in now, what is the market condition that we're going to be in when that bottle actually comes to market, which I think, within 4 years, it could be actually a very intolerant market. So we actually slightly have to be careful from this grandfather effect of bottling from a certain date forward is in lightweight. But if people have got old releases, there's going to be heavier bottles. We need to make sure that the consumer is also aware of the change and some degree of grandfathering for old production and old bottling.
Thank you. I'm going to ask Peter, before we close, to address the sparkling wine aspect that we've been looking at. But Adrian, a quick follow-up question for you, actually, about port. Peter knows more about this than I do. We haven't looked hugely at port, but obviously historically there is some heavier glass there. What would be a fair and reasonable expectation on port for sort of a maximum bottle weight?
I don't think that the target is particularly difficult. I mean, it's harder below 420, but it's certainly easy to get below 500 from bottles that are currently now at 660. So, there's a lot that can be cut out. We've already done it with our Croft brand. We're in the process of doing it with our Taylor brand. Hence the point I'm saying about molds because of amortization of that. But, one of the specifics is that we, with proprietary bottles where you use debossed areas, it's significantly harder to go to a lighter weight bottle because of the risk on fracturing around the debossed area. So you've got to kind of change your packaging completely, which, again, has perhaps a longer lead time. Those are sort of smaller points that clearly probably people with proprietary bottles understand. And I'm sure in your guidelines, you will call out those points because people don't want to have fracturing occurring. The practice of a debossed area, by definition, makes the overall bottle heavier. So anybody bottling should avoid debossed area if possible on any bottle. That's straightforward. Going forward, historically, we did whatever we did. It's going to be difficult to get into the 380s, 390s, but not impossible.
Thank you. That's fascinating to hear. Really useful insight. Thank you. We've only got a couple of minutes left. Peter, we keep saying we're going to address the point of sparkling. So address the point, please.
Address the point of sparkling, same logic as we did with 750 still bottles, but just what is a reasonable, achievable, reduced weight. Obviously, that's got to be different for champagne style from tank fermenteds, because obviously the former is much higher pressure. And obviously with those bottles, the structural integrity of the bottle is very important. So yes, same logic as we did with 750 still to come up with target weights for both of those types of sparkling. And just to come back to Adrian's point, I think, you know, to explore ports and other wines of that type, what might be the situation there. But sparkling definitely, because obviously that's a large component of the market.
Okay, thank you. We've had one member commit to join the Bottleware Accord on this call, which has been wonderful. I think some of you are probably wondering whether or not you should sign up. Hopefully this webinar has given you the confidence to do so. If it's good enough for, if Laura Container can do it, the rest of you, I hope, could also join us as well. Of course, they've done leading work in this space, but I know many of you have done the same. So if there are other questions we can answer, please do send us an email and we're happy to talk to you anytime. Thanks hugely to our speakers, to Jeff, to Anne-Laure, and to Dom. Peter, thank you. And thanks to everybody else for listening. So we'll be in touch. And thanks again for coming. See you all soon.